Matthew 10 and verse 16. It says, behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we're speaking on the subject of the roles of engagement. The fact that as Christians we are in this world. And Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, strategic, all right, as serpents, but be as harmless as doves. So we've got to be strategic, all right, in our thinking as we engage with the world there, but we are harmless. But very, very, you have to be very, very smart. In other words, you must be three steps ahead, all right, of people that you are dealing with, having certain thoughts inside your heart, having certain things inside your heart that are unknown, and you are following, all right, that system there and strategic about the way and manner in which you are going about the things that you are doing. And we said that a lot of Christians, a lot of times, really are just bullies in church. They quote all kinds of scriptures to church people, but when they get into the world, all right, they fall flat on their faces there. All right, they get themselves an environment that they cannot handle. They are not psychologically ready, all right, for how tough the system out there is, all right, and they begin to do all kinds of things. Now, many times, Christians have even taken themselves literally out of the world, and I explain this, even though they are physically present, but really, they are no longer participating. And Satan does know where the areas of influence are, and he easily provokes us with things when we don't understand scriptures properly, and we push ourselves out of the place. And we said this, that the rules or the laws that govern our interaction or your interaction in the body of Christ, all right, in church, is not the same principles you apply when you are in a secular environment. And I'll explain what I mean by that. What I mean here is that we have Paul talking about this, and he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, and he was very direct and explicit about it. 1 Corinthians 5, 9. He said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. I wrote that. Then in verse 10, he went on, he said, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye need to go out of the world. Then in verse 11, he said, what I was saying, I've written unto you, not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. In other words, he said, I am talking about the church here. I said, if you take this principle and take it into the world, you will have to go out of the world to operate. So you are going to operate with people, with the extortioners, idolaters, all right, and you must understand how to maneuver through all of this and get the job actually done, right? Now, we said that if you get into a church, all right, because some people just take things and, you know, take a principle that operates in a spiritual organization and transfer it and say, well, you know, I can't work in that place. You know, the boss is an idolater. He comes every morning. He comes with eggs and boiled yam and palm oil. And, you know, he pours the palm oil in front of his office. That's his business. It's not your business. Are you following what I'm saying here? If I'm working in an office and you bring fried eggs or eggs beside me, now you might not have the heart for what I'm saying, but it's me now. All right? And you bring fried eggs beside me there and you leave it and you just leave it there and you think that it's some idol, I will break the eggs, fry the eggs, and I will eat breakfast with your eggs and your yam and nothing will happen to me. And I can show you the scriptures, all right, that say that. Are you following what I'm saying there? All you have brought is food to eat with which we will sanctify by prayer, dedicate it to Jesus, and eat it. All right? Now, if you don't have this knowledge and this heart, then don't touch it. If your heart is shaking, that these are eggs that will carry you, then the Bible commands that you don't do that. All right? But what I'm saying is that it is completely different from the way and manner in which we operate inside. And people transfer these things and get themselves out of places and positions that God will have them be in order to be able to influence things. So we started looking at it, and we talked about some principles in terms of engagement, and we called it the rules of engagement, and I want to continue this morning. Now, the first one I want to look at is in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. Daniel 4 and verse 17. And it says, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Now, this is different from when you get born again and you get into the kingdom of God. He is talking about the kingdom of men, where men are operating. The invisible hand of God rules in the affairs of the kingdom of men. If men set up an organization, it says the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he gives that kingdom to whomsoever he wills, and setteth up over it the basest of men. In other words, the man that will rise to the top in that place is the one that is lowly in heart. The one that has the highest consideration for people, this is what it reads, that belong to the least, all right, who are the least in a social strata. The person whose heart is most connected to helping, all right, the poor. The one who is connected, as Jesus said, who will be the greatest among you, the one that is the servant of all. The man that has, you know, the collective, carries the collective within the heart, the interest of the collective, that kingdom. The person there who is not thinking in terms of, all right, selfish terms, but is thinking about the progress of every single person. But it tells us it is the kingdom of men, and God gives it to whomsoever he wills. Now, I want to look at some things here. But let me just digress, because a thought came to my mind. I went to preach in Benin during the week, and the theme of the conference was generational blessing. And of course, people are accustomed to generational curse, all right, which they say flows in families. But when it comes to generational blessing, people are not even conscious that there can be the things called generational blessings. Now, I never really preached on it, even though I prepared notes for it. But in preparing my notes there, a thought came back to me, and I think Bishop Butler alluded to this, and all right, concerning Abraham, why God picked Abraham as his man. And the reason was the parental skills of Abraham. And God said, I know Abraham. I know he will teach his children and children and raise. So it was his parental skills, his ability to transmit what he had learned through the generations. The reason is this. When we're reading the Bible, and this is what I want to get into, is that we've said, all right, in some teaching, that the Bible or God's dealings with man can be broken into three major dispensations. Now, you can go further and break it seven and all of that, but three major dispensations. Starting from Adam to Moses, before the law came, then Moses till Jesus, when the law was in operation, and then from Jesus, all right, grace and truth, which is what we call the last days after his death, burial, and resurrection, dealing with the church. Now, when he talks about how God deals with nations, you look at the law, because the law was given and God was dealing with the nation of Israel. All right, when you look at how God dealt with families, then you have got to study those people between Adam and Moses. Because the covenant that God had, he had with individuals and their families. And so we'll have him talking about Noah and his sons, saving individuals and their families, coming into covenants with people and their families, and how they transmitted these blessings from one, all right, generation to the next generation. Some they will lay hands, all right. You find out that going on between Jacob and Esau and Isaac, generational blessings going there. So God, all right, also has how he deals, right, his invisible hand. When you have a kingdom of men, there's a corporation in operation, God's invisible hand is right there. And it's important, first and foremost, that we understand that. I think in his book that gave rise to capitalism, all right, The Wealth of Nations, Adam Smith, he talked about the operations of the invisible hand. that in the, when you talk about economics, you cannot remove that invisible hand. That is what we are hinging, all right, this system really on. Because there exists the invisible hand of God in the affairs of men. Now, many people in their hearts, particularly modern day charismatic people, don't understand this. All right, they can pray. Promotion comes not from this, it comes from God. But then somebody else gets promoted and they're offended. They don't understand that it's God, all right, that has lifted up that person for a particular reason. Then we go to Daniel chapter 4, the same Daniel 4, 25, all right, from 25, I believe, right, to 32. It says, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. Now, I want to talk about the first rule when you are dealing with God, all right? And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. 7 times or 7 years shall pass over thee, till thou know the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he wills. So verse 26. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sworn to thee, after that thou hast known that the heavens do rule. Verse 27. Wherefore, king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Daniel said, break off thy sins by righteousness. Righteousness means equity in your dealings. In other words, paying people fairly. In other words, people who work for you, make sure they get paid. Equity, right? It says, break off thy sins. When you are operating in that kingdom, it said, here are where the sins are. Equity and thy iniquity is by having mercy to the poor. If it may be the lengthening of thy tranquility. Verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar, verse 29. Now see what Nebuchadnezzar did. At the end of 12 months after they said this 1 year, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Please understand this. It is the kingdom of where? Babylon. Remember Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for my honor of my majesty? Verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom shall depart from thee. In other words, we talked about making God your source. And the way, one of the ways you express this, very important to God, is that you give him all the glory for everything that is going on in that particular place and the advantages that are coming to you. Never attribute your progress to your intelligence, to your skill, to your knowledge. Make sure you give God the glory. Now, this is the kingdom of Babylon, that you have felt that God was not involved. All right, Nebuchadnezzar said, you see this thing that is built? I built it by the might of my power. God said, today that you have uttered these words, the kingdom has departed from you. So when you are in the midst of men and you are relating, people are building, never attribute, rule number one, anything to yourself. Never say it is, even if it appears so. Don't make this mistake. It is because of me. I'm the one doing all the work there. I'm the one producing the results. And you are saying, I'm the one. The use of that word, all right, I, is reserved for God. It is the one that said, I am that I am. Nobody else uses I apart from God. When you talk, you say we or he. He said, the only person that repeated it, you know what happened to him? He said, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend. I will. God replied him. So even if you do a presentation and it is you presenting and they say, so what have you done? Say, I say we. They say, well, how many are you? Say, our team. Which team worked with you? You say, well, where is the team? You say, well, I couldn't have done this just by myself. My school teachers, when I was in primary school, taught me. You understand what I'm saying here? I is reserved for God in terms of doing things. Give God the glory. I'm saying that God is involved in the kingdom of men. All right, let me show you New Testament. So some of you say, well, New Testament. Acts 12 and verse 21. This is Herod. Now, this is a wicked king that was killing apostles. Upon a set day, this is after he had killed James, arrayed in royal apparel, he sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "Is the voice of a god and not of a man?" And immediately the Lord smote him. When he killed James, God didn't smite him immediately. This time, immediately, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten up with up of worms and gave up the ghost. The glory belongs to God. Don't touch it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Things are happening. There must be constant gratitude. Even people in the world. I mean, you look at people that go and take Grammy, all these awards. You will see them, all of them are saying gratitude. If you hear them, they all of them are saying gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. I mean, they're saying it in a new age way. But what they are saying is that they have found out that when they looked into their lives, that really they were just lucky on some things. And what they've said is that we need to give gratitude. And so, even they know that, look, gratitude is important in order for an individual. So, they give gratitude there. They go back to God and give him thanks. All right? Get a photograph of yourself when you were born. That's all you came into this world with. All right? And you look at that, every other thing that is added to your life, go and thank God for it. Rule number one, making God your source, you do not touch the glory. It belongs to God. Don't get set up. If you are a channel at that point in time, go to him in worship. And let me tell you this, even if they're having a party in the place after they got one major deal and they are drinking champagne, you go to God and give him the what? Glory. Right? Now I get to that. You have got to build an altar to God wherever you are operating. An altar means a place there, which means you worship God. The man who brings in, all right, a calabash is trying to build an altar to his own God and some spirits so that they can have a point of entry into the affairs of that organization through the altar that he has built within the place. So they tell him, place this here, we will enter into the affairs of that organization, all right, or that house through this particular thing you have done. And what you also do is to build an invisible altar to God where you are giving him glory for everything that is going on within that place. And that, all right, guarantees that things begin. So rule number one there is give God glory for every progress that you are making. You see people that are doing well, you'll see from time things go south. You talk to them, they will tell you about how, you know, they were, I was the best salesman. You listen to them, it's I. And if you are spiritual, you will see that that's where your problem is. You are attributing the things that happened to your own self there, and you are not giving God the glory for the things that are going on. There are more scriptures on that. God said, if you don't lay it to heart to give glory to my name, he said, I will curse your blessing. Very important. All right, Herod could have said, what concerns God? God is the one who is operating in the church. You think that God is just with Peter and James. We are not. Are you following what I'm saying here? Herod is not. He's Herod. He was even kidding. But God said, that power that you had, I gave it to you. And it's so important that Christians, all right, are able to navigate and get it. Because when we talk about being the head and not the tail, it's in the context of this, the kingdom of men. Right? Because when the righteous are in power, the people will rejoice. I've taught this before. Wicked spirits in high places, when wicked spirits enter into men that are in positions of influence. Then, listen, if a wicked spirit enters into a man who is on the ground, the wickedness can only be seen by him killing the cockroaches and the rats around him in a temple. But if he enters into a king, it can be devastating. One king got up from those high places and said, kill every boy that is born is 2 years and under. Wipe them out. Wickedness. Women were crying for no reason. Wickedness. All right? So wicked spirits there in high places. So God wants, all right, his own spirit to operate through us too in those places there. But we have to go through this pathway. So give God the glory, all right, for everything. He is the source of everything. Acknowledge that from your heart. Give him thanks regularly. Give him praise. If you haven't done that when you get back home today before you eat, take some time, if it's 20 minutes, and pour out the praise for everything going on within your life. Look back at every time, all right, particularly if there has been any way in which things happened, let us say for 4 years, that has dried up. Go back and pick up those things, and you just continuously thank God, all right, for all those things that happened maybe 7 years ago, 8 years ago, that you just took for granted. You just stay there every day thanking him for it, because once you begin to thank and praise him for those things, all right, it might be individuals that did that, that helped you, that put in, chipped in something, but thank him for every hand that was stretched towards you, that was a hand of blessing, and after some time that begins to grow back, because he said the stump is in the ground. When you realize that the heavens doth rule, your kingdom shall be restored back to you. So any blessing that you had, this was God's plan, it gets multiplied. But once you don't give him glory, then the enemy can come in and things can start deteriorating. Right. Step number two here. All right. I don't give scriptures for this. All right. This is very important. Do not follow the path of corruption. Now, I said this last week or 2 weeks ago. I'll say it again. Do not, in whatever you are doing, and I will give you the promise of God, and now we just preach it from a moral standpoint and say, you know, don't follow corruption and all of that and all of this. But I want to show, all right, from the scriptures that once you begin to deviate and go into the path of corruption, Satan is taking you out of the ordained path for your life, and he wants to destroy the blessing that God has prepared for you. Integrity will lead you to a place, all right, of power and influence if you hold on to your integrity. Integrity is profitable on the earth. All right, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, which means it tells us about Daniel who purposed in his heart. And when you are operating in the kingdom of men, purpose in your heart, you are not going to be defiled. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with a portion. So it's something you've got to make up your mind. I am not going to defile myself. Now, corruption, all right, is a very powerful thing, because you can, if you are sitting in a place where people need you to be corrupt and you refuse to be corrupt, in the environment which you are in, you might not last long. So anytime you make a decision, quality decision, that goes against the grain of the world system, you have got to arm yourself with the relevant scriptures that you will be declaring and praying to keep yourself and to cause what God has intended to happen to happen. You don't just go into it, as we say, bare-chested. Right? The Bible says in 1 John 5:18, if you put that up, it tells us that he that is born of God, put it up, it says, and we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. He didn't say God keeps him. Keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. So it's important you understand, you know how to keep yourself so that the wicked one does not have access, all right, into your life. Now, I will give some Psalms and also another scripture here as to the promises that are associated with you as a person holding on to the integrity, all right, and what will be the outcome. And you pray things like this. Psalm 125, we'll read the entire Psalm. So let's start from verse 1. I think it's 5 verses there. Psalm 125, yeah. They that trust in the Lord. Now, it is said in a particular context, and see the context. They that trust in the Lord shall be at Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Now, the next verse. It says, as the mountains are around about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around his people from henceforth forever. So, if you trust the Lord, you as a mountain, and then the Lord is around you again as mountains. Verse 3. Now, what's this trust about? For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. lest the righteous, this is what the Bible says, put forth their hand to iniquity. So God will not allow the rod of the wicked to rest. God knows this, or else you'll be tempted to put your hand to iniquity. Verse 4, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. Verse 5, it says, for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall, it says, lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. In other words, the man that refuses to turn aside to crooked ways, God says that the rod of the wicked cannot rest upon your lot. Cannot. In other words, that's the problem. So it's not as though, oh, well, you see, we are not going to do this, but we know we're going to suffer terribly. They're going to, no. The rod of the wicked will not. Now, Psalm 24, another psalm here. It says this, Psalm 24, from verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. Now, hear what it's saying. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. This is the context in which he said it. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established upon the floods. Next verse. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So the man that said, I will have clean hands, God says, let me tell you this, the earth belongs to me and the fullness thereof, and such a person will receive blessings from me.
Thank you for listening.